This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Tess.
Thank you, Macca. So, Macca, in case our listeners didn't realise during the course of the week, the Victorian government actually commenced debate and, in fact, did pass legislation which amends the Equal Opportunity...
In the lower house.
In the lower house, which amends the Equal Opportunity Act to essentially make it,
Not permitted.
Not permitted to discriminate against a whole range of people, including LGBTI people. So to talk to us about what occurred in Parliament, we actually have Harriet Shing, who's the Parliamentary Secretary for Equality. Good morning to you, Harriet.
Good morning, Tess. Hi, Macca. Lovely to join you both again.
Great to have you on the airwaves. And Harriet, I'm not sure what part of the world you're in, but next time you're in Melbourne, we'd love to have you in the studio.
Do you know what? I'm yet to actually check out the new studios at the Pride Centre, so I'm gonna head along. I hope everyone else will also get a chance to check it out because it's an extraordinary centre for the heart of our community. So I can't wait.
We'd love to have you here. So, Harriet, the bill was debated in the lower house, and of course it did pass through. But as we understand it, the opposition voted against this as a bloc. Is that correct?
No, not quite. They actually didn't show up, and they didn't show up in the same way that they didn't show up for the conversion and suppression legislation that was debated earlier this year, and which has now meant that we've banned those really, really harmful and damaging practices. And it's just galling to see that time and time again the coalition is really, really happy to say one thing to one audience, as happened this program at the start of last month. And then when it really, really matters, when their numbers count and when their voices count in Parliament, that they don't even have the guts to show up. And
are you saying that as a whole, they just did not turn up to vote?
They didn't turn up to the vote.
So basically we had a whole lot of people who voted yes, and then a whole lot of people who just didn't vote.
That's correct. And they did this with conversion and suppression. They do it time and time again. They'll say one thing to one audience, as Matthew Guy did when he came onto this program. I remember listening to him, and I think I said at the time I was cautiously optimistic when he said that these things are not about politics and let's not use our communities as a football. And he said that the state needed unity, and he wasn't speaking in cliches, but that, you know, you shouldn't be able to dismiss someone who's got a job. That I think he said that would be ridiculous. To do that on the basis of sexuality or gender identity. And then when it comes to actually walking the talk and having his number count, not only does he indicate that the coalition won't be supporting the bill, he's doesn't even have the guts to turn up and vote no. And, you know, true to form, we see it time and time again. I think people are quite justified in running out of patience around, firstly, the leader of the opposition saying one thing and doing another. But secondly, when it really matters and when we need to see leadership in the terms that he's been spruiking about being unified, he's just nowhere to be seen. He just disappears.
Because it shows there were...
Where does it show what?
In Hansard, there were three MPs that weren't recorded as voting, which was Matthew Guy, David Southwick, and James Newbury. I think there were some. I don't have the figures actually in front of me that voted against the bill, but of course it passed, overwhelmingly. Harriet? They didn't table any amendments, did they?
Not that I'm aware of, but when you have the guy who wants to be the Premier, his deputy, and the man who purports to be the shadow for equality not turning up to even have the guts to vote no, that says a lot about what you'd get under a coalition government in Victoria.
So why would I mean, I don't understand why they wouldn't, you know, those three in particular didn't turn up. I don't.
Well, I think
I know they don't work with you, work for you, but I'm just.
No, they certainly don't. I think it's got a lot to do with having a bet each way, and this is what we see time and time again from Matthew Guy, is he'll come on a program like this and he'll say one thing, he'll go into the house and you know, either be nowhere to be seen or not have the guts to actually stand behind his convictions. Earlier in the week, for example, he waited until after three or four of his MPs had gone out the front steps where there were gallows and nooses and incitement and just the most vile behaviour from protesters against the pandemic legislation. He waited until after they'd done that and after they'd posted their social media grabs and graphics around these people being wonderful people to engage with before he said that, you know, that he wouldn't be allowing any more of them out. He's always too late to the party, and when he does show his face, he's a coward around not being prepared to stand behind his convictions.
I've just got the voting record from the Legislative Assembly on this bill. The ayes were...
On Hansard, Joe.
On Hansard. The ayes were 53 and the noes were 22. Missing, obviously, Matthew Guy, David Southwick and James Newbury. When it comes to the upper house, Harriet, obviously government will support. I expect the opposition and perhaps crossbenchers will move some amendments. It's a bit of a left field one. What do you think of Adam Somurek with his past rantings about his past homophobic rantings? Do you think he's, you know, is he sharing the cot with Bernie Finn now?
I actually have no idea, and it's one of those things where I don't think many people have any idea about what it is that Adam's going to be doing, if anything, on this particular piece of legislation. I think more gallingly, though, we'll have people like David Davis and Georgie Crozier and other members of the coalition in the upper house who I think are actually joy members and who I think actually take a great deal of satisfaction in talking about marching at Pride and being allies and supporters of our communities. We're going to have them actually having to stand by what it is that their colleagues have said in the lower house. They haven't foreshadowed any amendments that I'm aware of, but, you know, it's just a repeat of history along the same lines as the birth, death and marriages reforms, along the same lines as conversion, along the same lines as everything from same-sex adoption through to changing the law to remove discrimination. And, you know, it's chalk and cheese between what Matthew Guy said on this program, what he said to the mainstream media around laws that, you know, remove discrimination against us, and what he's leading as far as a party on a voting record to, in fact, enact progressive reforms that take the politics out, just like he said he would.
Harrius, I'm not sure if you listened to the debate in the lower house, but what sorts of arguments were used by some of those who were opposed to the bill?
No, so the great challenge for me in the upper house is that we were actually also trying to discuss the pandemic-specific legislation in the upper house this week.
I see.
So I've had a really, really busy dance card, as indeed has everyone else, around trying to get a framework up so that we've got the right rules and opportunities in place to manage the pandemic and to manage opening up and changes, you know, as we move to boosters and move to managing future pandemics. So that's been very much front and centre of my day for the last 6 days.
Yeah, but I do
know that there were arguments raised about institutions needing to be able to regulate their own affairs, about the importance of respecting freedom of religion, and I get it. I get that these things are really important, but we need to draw a line in the sand around what is lawful discrimination and confining that to religious beliefs as opposed to the way in which we define ourselves and identify ourselves as LGBTIQA plus people. And it's particularly galling. I just want to say that during Transgender Awareness Week and today being Trans Day of Remembrance, that we're facing yet another example as to why this level of activism from our communities and this level of progressive legal reform is just so important and isn't going away as a priority.
I see that Ellie Cupper,
who's that, Mac?
Member for Mildura for the Reason Party, and Sam Hibbins, the Greens member for Paran, also voted for the legislation.
Ellie's actually an independent member, and she has been a fierce advocate for LGBTIQA plus rights and also for recognition and in law and removal of discrimination. So that's absolutely right. And we've got a range of members across the political spectrum who are really, really supportive of progressive reform. In the upper house, we saw the same thing with the birth, death and marriages reforms and with conversion and suppression practices, prohibition legislation. But, you know, the leopard hasn't changed its spots as far as the Liberal Party is concerned, and for all of us who were cautiously optimistic, our hopes have been dashed again. And I think that this is, at least for me, the line in the sand that says whatever they say to one audience, when push comes to shove, they're either nowhere to be found or they're not even prepared to stand up and front our communities and say, we're not going to be supporting you on this.
Harriet, were you surprised at all by this?
I really wanted not to be surprised, Tass, and I really had been holding out hope, as I think many people in our communities had been holding out hope. And when Matthew came onto this program and talked about how he wanted to take the politics out of it, I think we all held our breath a bit about whether this might be a new chapter for the coalition and for recognition of the circumstances in which we face discrimination every day, and to join with our government in enacting progressive reforms that enjoyed the support of all parts of the parliament. But, you know, yet again, I think I'm going to stop being surprised, and I think that I'm just going to accept the situation for what it is, which is, you know, they're led by a coward who won't show up when it really matters, and I hope you can get him on the show. I hope that you can engage with him about why it is that he doesn't want to support this legislation and to actually front the people for whom it matters most.
Harriet, Mac has already used the word disappointment. He's asked listeners to come back in with other words that might describe how he feels. Enraged is a word that's come forward by one of our listeners.
I needed a word, Harriet, between disappointed and chronically pissed off.
Sure you're allowed to say that, Macca.
if anyone's able to be colourful with terms of phrase and language, I reckon this show is going to be able to do it.
That's right.
And I reckon the word I would say is weather vane. He just bounces around in the wind, and when it really comes down to it, when we need signposts around what's important, when we need conviction, you know, a weather vane's not going to do it.
And Harriet, for the record, we have reached out to the opposition. We've asked them on numerous occasions to come on the show this morning and talk to our listeners and our community about what action they've taken and why, and we've had a zero response, actually. Not a no response.
Well, that's almost like being being blocked on social media, isn't it? Joy's in the freezer. How surprising.
Do you know what it feels like, Harriet? When you stick your neck out on an issue and then someone comes...
The dog stuck her neck out.
That's Bazzy.
Yeah, you stick your neck out on an issue and someone comes along and stands on your throat.
Yeah, we've been... I'd just be more blunt than that. We've been ghosted by the coalition. That's what's happened here.
One of our listeners has written in and said to us, it makes me think of the religious saying, deeds, not words, really shows their true colours.
It's spot on. And the record, the public record, speaks for itself. And I think, Macca, you actually said in the last interview that radio is forever. And it's there. It's there forever. This interview that we heard from Matthew Guy, you know, giving us all hope before that hope being dashed by the actions of the coalition, that's there forever. And if that doesn't show people what it is that you can expect from the coalition around the sort of leadership that you'll get, then I don't know I don't know of a better example.
Stay tuned.
Macca, we've had another response from a listener.
I stand by to be further disappointed.
Disillusioned, says another listener. Disillusioned.
Now,
another
completely left field, this one, Harriet. Can we please ask Harriet what she thinks of Brittany Higgins and Grace Tame being on the cover of Marie Claire and the impact they've had, this has had, you know, with her female colleagues and the legislative changes with regards to stealthing laws in Victoria?
Yeah, really important changes around stealthing, really important changes around what it actually means for consent law in Victoria. I think that it's another line in the sand around what it means to send a clear signal as government about what is and isn't okay and what is and isn't criminal conduct. Stealthing in particular is something which I know our communities have been advocating for change on for many, many years, and I've been really proud to be part of a government that's done the work on this. As far as Grace Tame and Brittany Higgins, these two extraordinary advocates for legislative and cultural change, I just really, really wish that when I'd been growing up, I'd seen people like this on the covers of the magazines that I've been reading. I think visibility really, really matters. I think Grace has done the most extraordinary job as Australian of the Year, using that award as a platform to talk about some really difficult and really uncomfortable things, and that she's opened up a huge discourse around what needs to change. And I think Brittany Higgins, who never sought this platform, but who has just tackled these issues with the most articulate and passionate and determined and I think really inclusive narrative about her experience and about these closed doors behind which things happen and aren't talked about, at least until now. So kudos to both of them. They represent also hundreds of advocates across Australia, across Victoria, who've been doing the same thing tirelessly for decades.
They are wonderful women, there's no doubt about that. And Harriet, I've often said this, when I grow up, I want to be just like them.
I'm still trying to work out what I want to be when I grow up, Kat. It's an ongoing conversation in my own head, but having role models and mentors like that is so important for everybody who thinks they don't have a voice. Yet.
Too true.
Now, we're out of time, Harriet, but I wanted to give, and not in reference to yourself or to anyone else, perhaps, but what a dog whistle is. A dog whistle is the use of coded or suggestive language in political messaging to garner support from a particular group without provoking opposition. And it comes from ultrasonic dog whistles used in shepherding, which are audible to dogs but not humans. There you go.
Thank you, Macca. Harriet, thank you very much for your time this morning.
I'm going to go and get my dog whistle for actual dogs. No, absolutely, always a pleasure. I look forward to coming in, though, to continue these conversations.
Yeah.
I'm really proud to be part of our communities and part of this government.
And we love you being on our show. And a little message to send you off with, a message from Mel, one of our listeners, who says, Harriet is also a great role model for young women in politics.
Yes.
She is changing face herself. There you go.
Oh,
a bit of love mail.
Thank you, Mel. So wonderful.
Harriet, thank you
Take
very
care,
much
everyone.
For your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thinking of all of our trans folk too today.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was Harriet Shing, the Parliamentary Secretary for Equality and the Upper House Member for Victoria East.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.